Johnny was in grade 2 when his class was preparing for their first communion. The pastor came for a visit and was thinking of what kind of question to ask to test their knowledge of the sacrament. So he started like this: "Children, where is Jesus?" Then he looked at little Johnny, who was kind of hiding his face. "Johnny, can you tell me where Jesus is?" Johnny looked frightened and didn't open his mouth. So Father asked him again, "Come on, Johnny, tell me where Jesus is." Looking more terrified, Johnny just shrunk into his seat a little further. One more time, Father said to him, "I think you know the answer to where Jesus is." At that moment, Johnny bolted out of his seat, ran out of the room, knocking over his books, went straight out of the school, and didn't stop for the 2 blocks till he got home. Ran inside past his mother, up to his room. His mother rushed after him, and opening the door to his closet where he was hiding, she asked, "Johnny, what's wrong?" Starting to cry, Johnny blurted out, "Jesus is missing and the priest thinks I took him." We know it's Christmas. That's what we're celebrating today. The problem is that the readings don't sound like it. It seems like Jesus is missing. Where's the baby Jesus? Where are Mary and Joseph, dragging themselves from house to house, desperately looking for a place for her to give birth? Where are the angels and the shepherds and the wise men? Well, if you were at 4 or 6 o'clock Mass yesterday evening, you saw Father Jonathan or somebody dressed up as one of the wise men, but Charlie Brown yells out a similar question in frustration. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Unlike Johnny, Linus had the answer to Charlie's question. "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. There were some shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them and about them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward people.'" Well, Linus has got it right. If we had been at Mass last evening or at midnight or early this morning, we would have gotten some of that story. But today we get this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man sent from God, whose name was John, came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." I repeat that, those words of John's Gospel, because we see this image, this kind of depth of entering into the mystery that John the Apostle, the last living apostle, dives into. 50, 60 years after Jesus' death, John had seen all the other apostles killed, martyred for their faith, for what they knew to be true, that Jesus of Nazareth was truly God made man, who gave himself up in total self-giving love, who held nothing back, and who was raised to life at the resurrection. They didn't hide Jesus. They lived what they had seen. This is the confidence that we can have today. This is not some story that's made up. Nobody, not one person, would live a lie if it meant that they were going to be tortured and killed. But all of them did, and many others. John is putting into words what everyone who was closest to Jesus knew deep in their hearts. knew deep from their experience of Jesus, from what they saw, from what they heard, from what the Holy Spirit inspired them to understand. Brothers and sisters, we're here today to praise God. Now, God does not need our praise, but we need to praise God. First of all, because it is right and just to praise the one who brought everything into being. Jesus, John says, is the Word. The Word. When we speak words, we speak our words and they make sound waves in the air. When Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, speaks, through him, things come into being. The second reason that we praise God is that because we are worshiping beings, we are praising beings, we're going to raise up something and make it a thing that we bow down to. If we do not worship God, we will worship something else, a thing, a person, and even an idea. That's what we do here on Sundays. We worship the one who came to be with us, to be our Emmanuel, our God with us. Every traditional culture worships the kind of the divine spirit that they see active in nature. Ancient peoples made gods, and they gave them personalities, and they fed them sacrifices so that they would be good to them, sometimes even sacrificing their own children to those gods. Today we have so many things that can be objects of worship. Good things in themselves that we become so attached to that they take up all the space that we might have for God in our hearts. We hear it a lot in today's motivational speakers who I've listened to over the years, speakers and writers, who have all their ways of telling us how we can be wonderful and happy and successful, but they leave out usually the one who made us for happiness, and they leave us with only ourselves. Here's a few. I mentioned the names, and they won't be on the test. You don't have to remember these, but just these are different people who are motivational speakers. Bruce Van Horn. Your life will not be wonderful until you decide what is wonderful. And he says, always believe that something wonderful is about to happen. It's pretty, isn't it? Sean Croxton is getting people to study something that he calls the science of getting rich. Darren Hardy, the root cause of all the results in your life is your choices. Zig Ziglar, you have to put something in to get something out. It's not just enough to give it a try. Benjamin Hardy, you can only have what you see yourself having. To do this, you have to change your self-image. A lot of you and a lot of self, isn't there? Bob Proctor, there is greatness all around you, but you are going to have to ask for help. Then we come today to John's message. We must believe in God's word, that God wants us to come to us, and he wants to fulfill his promise to be in us and with us. God, who made and moves the sun and the moon and the stars, wants to be present to us and with us. How about Pope Francis' comments this Christmas time? He offered this reflection just a few days ago. These are the days in which we raise our eyes to heaven and we commend to God those people and situations that are closest to our hearts. In this gaze, we acknowledge ourselves to be sons and daughters of one Father, brothers and sisters. We give thanks for all the goodness present in this world and for all those who freely give of themselves, those who spend their lives in service to others, those who do not give up but keep trying to build a more humane and just society. We know well that we cannot be saved alone. Let us invite, still the words of Pope Francis, let us invite the Christ child to be born into our hearts spiritually, to transform our lives and to strengthen the witness of our faith so that we might grow in love for our brothers and sisters. May we proclaim his birth with great joy and announce the saving love of Jesus Christ in the daily activities of our lives. Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. He's in his word, in his people, in the Eucharist that we will celebrate today. Yes, all of those are true. Where does Jesus want to be? He wants to be in our hearts, in our daily lives, in every act of love or service. But he won't impose himself on us. We have to invite him in. Let's let today be the beginning for all of us of a time of inviting Jesus to be the light of our life. Little Johnny didn't take Jesus, but we can hide him under the things of this world that we worship. We can make it impossible for him to work in us. Will there be room for Jesus, the eternal word of God, this Christmas in our hearts? That's a good question. Will we let his light into our lives to transform us into the creatures of light for which he has made us? Let us worship Emmanuel, who is God with us today.